Audiologist, a Phonak podcast.
Welcome to The Audiologist, a podcast series created by Phonak to offer audiologists and people interested in audiology new perspectives on hearing health topics. This series of podcasts is all about adults with severe to profound hearing loss. At the microphone is audiologist Bernadette Fulton. I'm audiology manager for severe to profound hearing loss at Phonak International Headquarters in Switzerland. With me today is audiology professor Linda Thibodeau from the University of Texas at Dallas, Kaya Center for Communication Disorders in the USA. Linda does research and clinical teaching in severe and profound hearing loss in remote microphone technology, including real-world and lab outcome measures. She's also a contributing author to the guidelines. Welcome, Linda.
Well, thank you so much for including me in this podcast. It's a pleasure to be here and talk about a topic that I'm so passionate about. I've been in the field quite a while, and I've always been focused on anything that will help us hear better and background noise. And over the years, my conclusion has remained with this solution of moving the microphone closer to the speaker. So remote microphone technology is my love, and I'm glad that we are able to talk in this format to share information with others.
Linda, are we at the point in time when all clients with severe and profound hearing loss should be offered remote microphones?
Well, my answer is a definite yes. In fact, I was thrilled when I heard that we were going to be working on this publication of guidelines for severe to profound, because I thought, here's my chance to make the recommendation that yes, everyone with severe to profound hearing loss should be offered remote microphones. But I'm going to go even a step further and say my preferences and what we teach here is that everyone should have the opportunity to at least know about this option. So, you know, people have different criteria when they go to make a purchase in terms of how sophisticated they want to go these days with technology. So I think there's some people that definitely want to have all the technology possible and manage that for the best signal possible. And then others want simplicity. But even in that whole spectrum, from sophistication to simple, we have options for remote microphone technology. So a resounding yes, everyone should be informed about remote microphones.
So you've talked about bringing the microphone closer to the speaker, and that's the key element to the benefit of a remote microphone. But you found that it goes further than that. Can you talk about the specific benefits we could expect with a remote microphone?
Sure. I generally classify these into three areas. The first one I mentioned is about hearing better in background noise. So that is the most common challenge that even people with normal hearing face. And when you don't use technology regularly, you might just do the natural solution, and it's to move closer to the person you're trying to hear. And even sometimes with an elderly person who, you know has significant hearing challenges, you might just get directly in front of their ear and speak right into it. And that's really what we can do with remote technology these days. It's like someone's 6 inches from your ear, when really they can be across the room. And when we do that, it brings in the voice of the talker at a more intense level, higher or more volume than the background noise, which makes it easier to hear. So hearing better in background noise is definitely one major benefit of remote microphone technology. Also, hearing better over distance. So sometimes we're constrained by maybe an arrangement of furniture or the size of a classroom, and then being able to hear a talker that's not very close to you is of benefit as well, because there's certain sounds in speech that are very soft. And when you're far away from the talker, those soft sounds get even softer by the time they arrive at your ear. So sounds like S in Sam or F in Fish can be lost if your talker is not very close to you. And so the microphone can then pick up those sounds and deliver them as if the speaker, like I said, was 6 inches from your ear. And finally, the remote microphone technology can help us in environments that have a lot of sound bouncing around. So when you're in like a hallway or a stairwell, or maybe the entrance to an auditorium where there's no carpet, like at a church perhaps, the sound bounces around. We call that reverberation. And that tends to fill in some of the gaps between the words. It also can mask or cover up some of the soft sounds. And so again, if the talker is wearing a microphone, it can pick up the what we call the direct sound and deliver it to the listener so that they can hear that above the sound that is bouncing around. So three main effects: hearing in background noise, hearing over distance, and hearing better in reverberation are major benefits. But I could also add kind of a psychosocial benefit, and that is when a listener hands the talker a microphone and asks them to wear that because they're getting a better signal, you're actually doing a favor for the whole community of individuals with hearing loss by saying, this is something I need that will help me. And it's a reminder that I need you to speak slower. I need you to put more pauses. I need you to not turn around and walk away. And so you're actually going beyond just, you know, having a hearing loss to saying, this is what I need to be able to communicate better, rather than, you know, what so much of us have seen over the years of trying to market things that are smaller, less noticeable, so that people won't even know you have a hearing loss. And that just defeats the purpose of trying to improve your whole communication situation.
Linda, I know you've worked with these devices for years and years, and you really have so much experience with clients who are using these devices. In your experience, do they struggle to learn how to use the microphones?
Well, you know, when you think about that question, again, there's a whole range of individuals, so it's hard to give a blanket answer to a question like that. But I will say, yes, there are definitely some who struggle, and that's what I've seen over the several, like you said, individuals that I've worked with, is that it's not typically something that you can offer in a 30-minute appointment on top of here's how your hearing aid works, or maybe even an hour. It can be overwhelming. So it might be something that is mentioned as an option and then later on introduced. And I like to do it in a group format. So we have several programs here at UTD where we bring couples together and talk about ways to improve your communication, whether it be strategies that you use to ask how to ask people to repeat information, whether it be lighting and watching for visual cues on the face, or additional technology that we can add. And then, as you mentioned, we take it out into the real world and we try it. So that, I believe, is the best way to introduce the technology, is to have opportunities to actually experience it with the individual. In fact, my students have already witnessed that you can show a client at 3 o'clock in the afternoon in an appointment like you might have in an audiology clinic how to use this technology. And then we go out to dinner 2 hours later and the couple doesn't know how to turn it on or is reluctant to try it. And so the student is there to then review all the technology and actually demonstrate how well it works. So I'm a strong advocate of, yes, remote microphone technology can be beneficial, but it's not necessarily something that you can just hand over with a booklet of instructions. I feel strongly that it needs to be demonstrated. You can do that in a clinic appointment, but ideally we could arrange some opportunities, even in a clinical setting. You can invite some of your patients to go out to dinner and demonstrate the technologies if they would like to. And I think some people that really are interested and have spent a lot of time and effort in picking out their personal device or ear level device want to try to see what else they can do with their technology. So yes, it can be difficult. And I think you have to just look at each individual to see where they're at with that.
Okay, I guess one of the points that you raised there is the importance of a demonstration, of actually demoing the device. So once they've had the chance to hear what a dramatic impact the remote microphone might have for them, then their motivation to learn will probably be higher as well, I imagine.
Exactly. And then especially if the significant communication partner can witness that, because oftentimes they're the one that's been struggling and having to do the repetition and wondering if they were heard. And so when they see that this communication can really be facilitated, then you've got a team working together with that.
In the guidelines, you also put quite a lot of detail in how to verify remote microphone technology. And I think for some audiologists, they would never consider doing any more than, now it's on, can you hear my voice? How important is verification?
Well, yes, that has been another area of my interest in research, and that is making sure that when we're using another microphone other than the one that's right at the ear, that our listener is getting a good response and one that's similar to what they got when they're not using the microphone. So I think I first became interested in this, and actually many times we're motivated in our research by things that annoy us, right? So I watched children when we were still wearing body-worn remote microphone technology. I watched children in the schools come to school, take off their personal hearing aid, and put on a body-worn system that no one had ever tested. No one had ever determined what volume setting was best for them. And they might have just spent three visits with the audiologist over time to get a specific setting and program optimized for their personal hearing aid. And it just killed me to watch them then come to school, remove those personal hearing aids, and put on a body-worn system that had never been tested. So that's when it started, and I said, we should be testing this. We should have a standard that tells us how to do this, and audiologists should take responsibility for this. So over the years, we have developed an ANSI standard now that's been approved, ANSI S3.47, and of course, we have the American Academy of Audiology guidelines for fitting the device. So, yes, electroacoustic analysis, I believe, is extremely important. And I'm hopeful that still during my career, I will see manufacturers of the equipment to do the testing of the electroacoustic test boxes actually incorporate that into the sequence of automatic routines that they already have built in for verifying hearing aids. Mm. So we've made a little bit of progress on there. Every once on some manufacturers, you'll see a button that says, you know, remote microphone. What we're dealing with right now is actually many of our ear level devices connect to smartphones. And I want to be sure that when you use the smartphone for a phone call, that you're getting an optimal signal compared to what you get with the hearing aid. And that's another whole arrangement that we try to set up in the test box. So yes, it is our responsibility. We can't do one level of detail in fitting one type of device and then offer another one and completely ignore all the science and tech verification that we've just done with a first device that we put on them. I'm also going to say another part of verification is real world. Okay, we can do everything in the clinic. We can simulate background noise. But what we really need to do is have a plan with our participants, our patients, that they're going to try this in a restaurant in this situation and give us feedback. Because again, if we don't have that verification that it actually worked for them in their real world, I'll tell you what's going to happen. It's going to come back and be returned, and they're going to say, I don't think it really, you know, made that big of a difference. When we know it can make a difference, it might be just because they didn't know how to turn it on, place it properly, get it connected, and so they didn't actually hear and witness that and gain the confidence to use it. So that's also part of verification.
It's really interesting to me that you've been inspired by watching children. And I think if there are audiologists out there who understand how to do a verification for a remote microphone, they'll probably be pediatric audiologists. But for audiologists working with adults who've never done this before, is there a lot to do in verifying the remote microphone system? Is it a complex task?
Well, no, it's not that complex. Like I said, because the manufacturers of the verification equipment have, I'm going to say, spoiled us with the automatic runs, it's not that complicated, but you do have to think out kind of outside that automatic run. And that is, how do I make my test box go into a mode that I can actually do curve one, curve two, and compare those curves with a, 65 dB input of either a digital speech signal or some kind of real speech signal, and then compare that when we have the remote microphone in the test box to the hearing aid alone. That's not that difficult, but it does take some knowledge of how to, do something more than just push the ANSI S3.22 button and let it run its curve. But I will also say that Phonak has done an excellent job in assuring us of the likelihood that the verification is going to be optimal. So when you connect a Phonak receiver to a Phonak personal hearing instrument, I hardly ever have to do any adjustments in terms of that verification. I'm pretty confident that it's going to be where I want it to be optimized. So I many times would rather spend my time, especially if it's an adult and a couple, of doing that verification of speech recognition improvement in the clinical setting. So I can actually set them up in the sound booth with background noise coming in behind them. I can be outside the booth and I can either deliver my speech from the front speaker in front of them without the remote microphone. And then I can be outside the booth and turn on the remote microphone. And I can show them when I'm directly speaking into the microphone, transmitting to your technology, you're going to hear X% better than you did when you just had your hearing aid. Now, here's the catch for those people who want to start incorporating this, and that is you can't do hearing aid alone, speech recognition and background noise at a level where the person gets 80, 90% correct. Because then when you talk into the remote microphone, you have nowhere to go in terms of making it better. Mm-hmm. So you have to present enough background noise that you make it very difficult when they're just wearing their hearing aid alone. And let's say we get them around 60, somewhere below 80%. So we've delivered, for some persons, that might be a 0 dB signal to noise ratio. Speech is the same intensity as the background noise. And then when I turn on the remote microphone, they can hear the difference and you can show that in an objective measurement of some kind of speech recognition score. So that kind of verification is also important.
So the interesting thing for me about what you've just said is that you do it with a significant other. And so one of the questions that I was going to ask is, what is the impact of remote microphones for the significant other, for the communication partner?
So many times it's a calming and a relief kind of effects where they know when they are having the microphone on that it's just going to be easier. They're not constantly thinking about, okay, I'm having this conversation, but also processing another track in their brain about, is the conversation being heard? Are we going to be on the same page about what we agreed in terms of the time we're going to meet and what happens if he didn't hear it and then he shows up late and so forth. So I just put that in a male-female relationship. It could perfectly be the other way around. Yeah. No bias there at all. But but I think it's a huge relief to know that your voice is coming in more clearly. And again, a reminder that I am doing my part as a team for improving our communication. We've had some individuals come in and when we present the microphone, they take it home. And this has been in my week-long workshops. And the wife came back with it neatly sewn into the blouse. That's when we had the lapel microphones on the cord so that she could go out to the restaurant that night and, you know, it wasn't noticeable on her blouse. And then she saw the other ladies in the group had it around their neck, you know, dangling in front of them. And the next night she came and had it outside. And so it's a matter of saying, yes, you're wearing technology. I'm wearing technology. I always talk about that being a huge benefit for children and parents. When the parents are willing to wear the technology in the grocery store and the microphone with the child, and the stranger comes up and says, oh, what are you wearing? And the parent talks about it. The child sees that comfort and that participation in the whole communication process and learns a strategy that this is okay for me to talk about and educate people and let me tell you what it does. And so I think that happens for the spouse too. But I will say one of my most favorite examples, and this has happened more than once, but we often make sure that the individual knows that the technology can facilitate phone calls. So many of the options in the Phonak technology is the microphone that also has Bluetooth capability that can connect with the phone. So when the wife knows that it's been a struggle to have phone conversations with their significant other, and then they can wear this microphone and it goes directly into both hearing aids and they actually can carry on a conversation more than just yes, no questions, it's like you opened up a whole new world. So I've seen the joy on their face, the joy that is also gone into tears. Like, I can't believe you're able to answer a question that wasn't yes, no, when I talk into this microphone and we're having a phone conversation. So yes, great benefit.
Just to try and recap the messages from our discussion today, remote microphones should now be considered routine care for everybody with a hearing loss, but especially, I'd say, for clients with severe and profound hearing loss. It might take some effort to learn how to use the remote microphone, but the benefits are huge. And also that verification is important and should routinely be done when you fit a remote microphone, and that really there's a huge impact on the quality of life for both the hearing impaired person and for the significant other.
I agree with all that, but I'd like to make one amendment.
Okay.
And that is, it may take more effort to learn. As you said that, I felt like that was implying that it's on the participant, it's on the listener to do this. And yet I believe that it's something that we as audiologists, if we become the knowing that this is the best way that we can optimize the communication for the persons that come to us with their problems, that is just standard practice. And when we adopt that as this is standard, this is going to make it even better. This is how it comes. You have this part that goes on your ear, and then we have a choice of these types of remote microphones, all the way from the simple clip-on. It's just turn this button to turn it on. You clip it on the speaker to, you know, more sophisticated, connect it with your phone, choose which microphone you want to be active. If I can go back to the analogy of, because I have been doing this a while, before we had real ear measures, okay, and we fit hearing aids, then this computer system came along that showed you all these nice curves on the screen. I don't remember anybody saying, oh, this takes more effort. We were all enthralled with how we could do, you know, better fitting for our patients and actually see the actual objective measures of it. And to me, it's in that same light that we have technology now that has advanced, and we don't have to stay back in our mold of just, oh yes, we've been fitting these devices on the ear and we can see these nice curves on the screen. But now the technology has advanced to be extended beyond the little bubble that's around you that the hearing aid can pick up. And so we should think of it as this is just part of the new technology, and that we have to do what it takes to make sure our participants can benefit from it. So I'd like to kind of rephrase that to say that it's our responsibility to be sure that we can make our participants, our patients successful.
Yeah, look, I think that's a great point, Linda. And I will never say it again. I will stick to the mantra. It's easy and it's fun.
It's easy, it's fun, and it's we're the ones that know the most. You know, I also want to give one other analogy that it, you know, they, a lot of people are going to come to you and they have read the, gone to the internet, they've researched, they've heard about Bluetooth, they've heard about, you know, proprietary streaming and all these different options, and it's overwhelming. And so it's like they're on a journey to finding better communication. And I like to think of the audiologist as the travel agent. So the travel agent knows the best places to stop along the way. Once we know where you want to go and how you want to get there. If you want to go with, you know, all these elite accommodations that I can suggest for you along the way, then I'll get you that technology that will have all those bells and whistles. If you just want to go from point A to point B with the quickest route, then I will get you that technology. So we're the ones that are in the position to be the travel agent and guide our patients through this maze of all the options that are out there.
So from one travel agent to another, thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you especially for your work in making the guidelines for best practice a reality.
Thanks so much. And I'm always welcome to answer questions anytime.
If you would like to learn more or obtain a copy of the best practice guidelines, they can be downloaded from the Phonak Pro website, which is www.phonakpro.com, and then look for severe to profound hearing loss.
The Audiologist, a Phonak podcast.